Welcome to Tech Central, welcome to our studio, and welcome to TC Daily, the daily technology show brought to you by Tech Central. If you haven't subscribed to us yet, please do so. You can reach us at youtube.com/TechCentral, or you can, of course, find us on techcentral.co.za. Subscribe to our daily newsletter, and you won't miss any of these shows or any of the latest South African and international tech news. Now, very excited about our next guest in the studio today, and that's Mark Rain. Mark is co-CEO of Mercedes-Benz South Africa. Mark, thanks for making the time.
Thank you very much for having me. Hello, everyone.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation today, Mark, because there's a lot of stuff happening in the automotive industry, especially around EVs. And Mercedes-Benz South Africa is doing some interesting stuff, made some very interesting announcements just in the last couple of weeks. And we're going to get into that in some detail. But first of all, I just want to get a view from you on what the state of the industry is at the moment. We've obviously been through quite a tough time. We've had the COVID pandemic. We had the July riots last year. And of course, on a global scale, there's been a major component shortage, which has been affecting the automotive industry. What does the industry look like in South Africa today after all of these events that we've seen?
I mean, per se, I need to say the industry is going through a phase of transformation throughout the last few years, but now obviously it's culminating in let's say the e-mobility direction, but it's also going through a phase of disruption. So we've got new players joining the market, starting from Tesla many years ago to now obviously also a lot of tech companies are looking at it. Chinese new automotive players are coming up. Mm-hmm. Those are all, let's say, macro factors which are influencing the industry as such. And there's also from all ends of the spectrum disruption to our business model, how we conduct, how we treat our customers, the customer experience. Digitalization has definitely an impact on it. But also, for instance, I'll touch on another topic, e-commerce, a huge factor which maybe the automotive industry is more at the tail end. If you look at, I mean, I always use the example, when was the last time you booked a flight, not online, but went to a shop and bought a ticket? So those aspects of daily life are having an impact on the automotive industry. On top of it, we obviously had, like everybody, COVID. And COVID had a very severe impact on the automotive industry, from supply chain to our business and operating model, to customer touch points, to obviously, if you look at the South African context, if you look on average, you would say probably a customer drives 2,000 kilometers mm-hmm. per month, living in Joburg, I don't know, living in Pretoria, working in Sandton as an example. And now suddenly COVID came, and that was reduced to maybe, I don't know, 200 kilometers a month because they work from home. That has a major impact on how often customers have to go to service their car, how much fuel consumption plays a role in the cost of ownership. So all of that disrupted us even more. Plus, the latest, now you've got supply chain problems, you've got semiconductor crisis, then you had recently a Shanghai lockdown, which had a huge impact. If you look at topics like, for instance, the logistics chain, and I could go on probably for another hour explaining what challenges which we have at the moment. The interesting part of it is that, in general, the automotive market has been fairly resilient in South Africa, but also in South Africa, but also on a global level. Mm-hmm. And we've been facing a situation where there's globally more demand than supply, which has not been the case in the automotive industry in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. So all in all, extremely interesting period, extremely challenging, a lot of new topics which we had to tackle and find solutions. And it has brought about an agileness which, in my view, long run, is a benefit to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The chip shortage that we've seen, is it anywhere near an end yet, or is it still ongoing?
I think anybody who would say it's at the end doesn't see the bigger picture or the full picture of it, not being aloof or arrogant in that regard. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I mean, COVID happened. All automotive manufacturers were very cautious going into that, reduced their projections in terms of how much volume is needed. The electronics consumer industry had an upsurge. Everybody bought new TVs, laptops, and so on because they were more at home than outside. You also need to understand the quality and the matureness of the semiconductors, which goes into electronics versus cars. There's a difference. There was also an optimization of certain industry players in the semiconductor sphere, which then steered more towards the consumer electronics away from automobiles. And then there were obvious reasons where big players who are suppliers, like, for instance, Taiwan, China, but for us in particular, Malaysia, a place which not many people know, Batupat. I was in Malaysia for a few years, so I actually know where that is.
Okay.
Was under a complete lockdown, and the production plant closed down for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And because we are in a system where it's just in time, if you take one building block out, the whole chain gets disrupted. And A, that has had a ripple on effect, and I just believe this is going to be something which will be
accompanying us. Mm.
Because now it's not only the semiconductor, it's the Ukraine crisis, the Ukraine war. Ukraine is actually one of the biggest supplier for the entire industry in terms of hiring harnesses, which is the backbone to any car nowadays. So it's so complex nowadays that no, the end is not in sight, and we don't know what the next corner will bring us.
Now, before we start talking about the shift to EVs, which is a very exciting topic, I'd just like to know a little bit more about Mercedes-Benz South Africa and your operations here. How big is the operation in South Africa? I know you build vehicles here. What does that manufacturing plant look like? What sort of investments have you made in the local market in recent years?
I mean, we've got, I need to underline that we as Mercedes-Benz have a great legacy and history in the South African market. I mean, we've been building cars for over 50 years in this country, and we've got a state-of-the-art production facility in East London, which produces our C-Class limousine, and that is supplied to the entire globe, from Australia to the US to Germany to you name the country. This is the core supplier of C-Classes for us in the globe. So we're very proud of that heritage also, and that fact for the South African market. And as I said, it's state of the art in terms of the technology and production processes. That's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is basically our market operations. So we've got a dealer network with over 42 locations in South Africa, with our local partners, which obviously provide the first-class service to our customers. And our head office is situated in Pretoria. I must mention we've just moved our head offices.
We're now
in Menlo Main. It's I call it a Google-like office space. So it's also very modern, very futuristic, and we're super happy as an organization to have moved into that space, because that's also part of the transformation of the culture, which is very important for me, because we have to think and breathe and live like our customers, like our future industry. So if we're talking about digitalization or e-commerce, now our office represents that in a way.
Do you think you're becoming more of a tech company?
I would say we're neither a pure automobile nor a pure tech company. Mm-hmm. We're a luxury company. We aspire to have the most, and I believe we do, the most luxurious automobiles in the industry. Mm-hmm. And part of having a luxury product is the core product substance, which is we build the greatest cars on the planet. Mm-hmm. But also nowadays, and I'll quote one of my ex-production heads, it's a computer on wheels. Mm-hmm. So in the digital savvy world we live in, with iPhones and what have you, if I'm or Samsung phones, if I don't want to discredit anyone, the digitalization of the vehicle is vitally important, because consumers expect to have latest state-of-the-art technology in their motor vehicles.
And upgraded all the time
as
well.
Yes, and I mean, if you look at, I mean, the main feature I use in my car is Apple CarPlay nowadays. Yeah. It's a given. And now, if you look at me as a person, but I could be the CEO of any other company, my car is my own space. It's my mobility provider. I want a certain status which represents me as a person, but it's also my office. And so having that connectivity in your car is vitally important.
It's quite interesting to see this merging or convergence of tech players and traditional motoring companies. I mean, there's been this rumor that's been around for a couple of years now that Apple is working on an EV, the Apple car potentially coming to market. It's almost as if the two industries are converging. But what will be interesting to see is how exactly that convergence takes place. who decides to do what, whether Apple eventually launches a car or whether it just provides the services inside other vehicles. But it's interesting because I'm sure that the car companies like Mercedes, working with the tech companies to provide a lot of these solutions, also see them as potential competitors.
I mean, you're right in saying that, but I think there's a transformation of the game, I call it. Mm-hmm. If you look at, I say, pre the 2000s, there was no new player entering the automotive market for the last, I don't know, I don't know specific years, but I would say last 800 years in a way.
There wasn't a lot of change.
Because there were only traditional players in the game.
Yeah.
Which was because the internal combustion engine, a petrol or diesel engine, is the core of the motor vehicle, and it's the biggest investment in terms of research and development. So minimum you spend $1 billion, but more in the direction of $5 billion in terms of investment into R&D to get a car which is customer ready if you want it. If you take that out and you go into electrification, the research and development costs are very are diminished in a greater extent. And that enabled a player like Tesla to enter the market and new ones. And that's point number one. Plus, the car is more like a living space nowadays, including connectivity, digitalization, and it provides a lot of data and opportunity and access point to its user, its driver, or whatever you want to call it. And that's what makes it interesting for Apple, Google, and the likes to enter that sphere, not because they want to build cars as such. The car is the commodity, and then you've got the driver, the consumer, and that is linked back by the operating system, the digital and connectivity aspect.
The software,
and
the cloud, everything else that goes with subscriptions.
So it's I think it's actually it's highly interesting and fascinating to also be in this industry at this stage and to drive this forward. This for me is I get up every day and I'm thinking, now anyway, we work in an industry which a lot of people aspire to because cars are something which people are passionate about. Then I work for a luxury brand which I still regard as the ultimate in the automotive industry, and then we're at a stage where we see major transformation happening.
Disruption.
Disruption has always like a negative connotation, but I say major transformation, which gives opportunity to provide a customer experience, to provide solutions, to provide customer journeys, which are completely revolutionary. And that excites me in every way.
Well, let's talk about some of that exciting stuff. Let's talk about EVs. South Africa is probably quite far behind many developed markets in launching electric vehicles. It's across the board. Sales are not that high, but all the big car companies are saying that's going to change in the next few years. In your view, is the South African market ready for EVs, or do big things need to happen still?
Actually, I need to thank you for that question because it's honestly speaking my favorite question. I've been now back in South Africa for 1 year. I grew up in South Africa, but I've spent the last 20 years abroad. And I've seen Asian markets and the development. And you're right in saying that the South African market in terms of the e-mobility aspect of things is probably more a late follower or at the tail end of that that development, which you could say, well, we should have been at the forefront of it. I actually think it's a benefit because South Africa as a country and we as the players in that country in terms of providing mobility as such, including government institutions, can look left, right and center and learn from other markets. Was there the immediate need in a South African context to push in electric vehicles at an early stage? No, because there are other challenges or other aspects in this country which probably take a pole position. But, and that's crucially important for me, the prerequisites in South Africa to have the EV revolution are so much better than in any other market or any other country I've seen. Because of the South African context, and I'm not going to name the child, but a lot of people, especially in our segment, have either gone off the grid or are thinking of going off the grid. In the South African public, because of the circumstances, there is a very conscious discussion about energy and electricity as such, which is only happening in the past 6 months in Europe, for instance, because of the Ukraine war.
Yes.
So people have thought about the concept of how to use energy, how to consume electricity, and how to provide it. If you ask the average Joe Smith on the street in London or in Berlin, for instance, 9 months ago, they would have not even comprehended or that situation or haven't even thought about it. In a South African context, let's say, especially in our segment, I need to add, people are looking at solar panels anyway.
Yeah.
They've spoken to their friends about what would a conversion to solar panels for their private property cost. And that makes the transition to electric mobility so much more viable. Because I take the example of an average South African living in the greater Gauteng area, traveling probably 2,000 kilometers per month. That would have a fuel cost of 6,000 rand. And growing every month because fuel prices are going up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a solar installation on your house, you reduce your cost for your owner or the cost of ownership for your vehicle from 6 suddenly to 1,000 rand or something like that. And that makes the transition into an electric vehicle, not only from a technical standpoint, but also from an economical standpoint, so much more interesting. And that plus many other factors give me the confidence that the transformation or the revolution into e-mobility in South Africa, once it kickstarts, and I think we're right at that point now, will be flipping much quicker. Because I also believe that of the daily challenges which South Africans face, they're very quickly to adapt, to look at new solutions, and then to move ahead. And that agile nature of the South African will also facilitate that transition.
Interesting, interesting perspective. That do you help households at some point then with their green energy needs? You know, if you buy an electric car and you want to charge it at home, do you advise? Will Mercedes advise people on what batteries to use, what solar panels to use, etc.?
I mean, first of all, I must say that we are entirely convinced that, especially for us as a brand, the uptake of electric vehicles will come more rapid than a lot of people think. So we believe that by 2026, 50% of our vehicles sold in South Africa will be electric vehicles, which
that's astonishing.
A lot of people question me saying, what did you smoke this morning anyway?
What's the percentage right now?
I mean, we've just launched the electric vehicles 2 weeks ago, as you mentioned.
So there's been no electric vehicle from Mercedes in the market until 2 weeks ago.
No. Okay. We took the active decision.
So 0 to 50 in four and a bit years.
Yeah. Because we took the active decision, now we could have launched electric vehicles earlier into the South African market as we did with other countries. But we said, let's wait for the right moment, and then let's go with a big bang. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to drip feed it, so we launched 4 vehicles 2 weeks ago from the EQA, EQB, EQC, EQS. So EQA being our compact sports SUV, which is the entry vehicle into our luxury segment, and the EQS being the S-class of all SUVs, which is probably self-explanatory. And in the next 9 months, we're going to add another 3 electric vehicles. And then we've got a portfolio of 7 vehicles offering different, very interesting alternatives to, let's say, our clientele, our customers.
And you must have done customer research. Your customers must be telling you that this is what they want for you to make such a bold prediction 4 years from now.
And yes, we did. I mean, we didn't do customer research in a scientific or in an academic sense.
Sure.
But we teased the market early on.
Mm-hmm.
We tested the appetite. We saw that customers are coming to us requesting these vehicles because they've been available on a global level. And a lot of our clientele travel a lot to Europe and these kind of places, so they've been exposed to it. And we've seen the order intake, which we had since the start of the year when we announced we're coming with electric vehicles. So we virtually sold out with all our electric vehicles into the next year. And it's, I call it the reverse hockey stick. We're going to be shooting up in a way.
Fascinating.
And I believe that if we would have launched the electric vehicles 2-3 years ago, only with one vehicle, it would have been a challenging one. And we would have been endangering the success story, burning this child too early in a way. But now we come with a full portfolio of different vehicle options. And we specifically said we need to also focus on the entry luxury segment. So if you look at the EQA, it's slightly more expensive than a C-Class, but cost of ownership, it's actually more competitive if you want it. And so if you would be in the market shopping around for something like a C-Class, we can offer you EQA at the monthly installment at a similar rate, and you would have obvious benefits out of it. So we're very confident about the future of electric vehicles, and I honestly believe that there's a great success story. But to come back to your question, do we consult our customers? We do quite a few aspects. So on the one hand, every electric vehicle from Mercedes-Benz, every Mercedes EQ, comes with a free charger installed at a location of your choice, assuming your private residence, by Mercedes-Benz. Plus, we also cater for various service options and alternatives for our customers and solutions. For instance, our electric vehicle, because there's, let's say, some concerns around electric vehicles, every electric vehicle comes with an 8-year battery warranty. So you've got peace of mind. We do a 6-month battery health checkup. So we cater for these things where people are uncertain about electric vehicles. In terms of solar panels, charging solution, we work together with Gridcars, which is at the moment the market leader in terms of charging stations. In terms of solar panels and consultation, I would say that's not our core competency. We leave that to the experts. Obviously, we're collaborating with the one other which can then we can recommend that.
You mentioned grid cars and the charging stations around the country, and obviously a big concern in the back of consumers' minds, not just in South Africa, worldwide, is range anxiety on EVs. Are there enough charging stations in South Africa now where you confidently say that if you want to travel from here, Johannesburg, for example, to Cape Town or to Durban or to the Northern Cape even, that you're not going to run out of juice?
I mean, a very good question. I would say it's like the chicken and egg question a bit. On the one hand, and I always say that with a smirk, South Africa is at the moment world record holder in ratio charging stations to electric vehicles sold, because there are not so many cars, electric cars in the South African market, and comparatively a lot of charging stations. We, like other manufacturers, are collaborating with Gridcars, and that's good because you want scalability in that sense. So there is a strong ramp up. We, from our side, provide home charging to every customer. We provide also the option if you are a customer and you say, okay, thank you very much for this charging station, I'm going to install it at my house, but I want one at my office. We can facilitate that as well. Then Gridcars obviously has a vast network already. We have charging points.
A vast network. How big is this network?
That's a good question that I wouldn't have off the top of my head. But they've got also an expansion plan. Mm-hmm. But for instance, you were talking about the long routes to Cape Town and to Durban and so on.
Yeah.
They've got a charging network along the main highways. And obviously expanding that, they have been talking to many of the manufacturers. How much you see your electric vehicle population growing, and it obviously needs to go hand in hand. But also us, we're looking at investing in a charging station in Harrismith, so that our customers, which go from, let's say, the Gauteng region to Durban,
yes,
can safely travel there and have a charging point in the middle.
Would that be a Mercedes charging station in Harrismith, or is it an industry collaboration?
We're looking at that, for instance, that we have a branded Mercedes-Benz charging station there.
Nice.
But talking about range, if you look at, for instance, I'll just take the EQS. The EQS 450, which we just launched, has a range of 782 kilometers.
782?
Yes.
That's astonishing.
Which is surprising to most people, like your reaction, because obviously the bigger cars have bigger ranges because they have more space for the battery pack. But if you look at, for instance, the EQA, 426 kilometers, and for me, it's also vitally important that you look at e-mobility in a different light. Mm-hmm. Number one needs to question how often you drive more than 200-300 kilometers in a day. It seldom. Does happen, but very seldom. Mm. And the day you drive to Cape Town or the day you drive to Durban, that's once or twice in a year, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it also requires a rethinking in terms of how you use your motor vehicle. And I always use the comparison to mobile phones, for instance. we all have that anxiety that we run out of juice with our mobile phone. So we've got a charger in the car, we've got a charger at home, we've got a charger in the office, and wherever you go, you plug in. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of the same mindset which you have to have when you use electric vehicles. You're not going to run it until empty, go to a petrol station and fill it up anymore. Mm-hmm. You will wake up in the morning, and obviously because you've got your Mercedes EQ home charger installed, your car is fully charged. Obviously, if that is the case, through your solar panels, and you haven't paid for it because it came through solar energy. Then you travel to the office, and let's assume it's 50 kilometers, which would be already a greater distance. Then you're saying, okay, well, I've still had 80% of my charge in the car. You are at the office in the morning, you plug in your car, and you go out for lunch, and your car is back to 100. And that's the way you approach that, and only the long distance drive considers more concerted or careful planning. Mm-hmm. Because even if you would say, I leave my house in the morning, I drive 200 kilometers around town, I don't charge during the day, I come back at home, you still have more than 50% if you take the EQA, and with the EQS more than 75% in your battery charge, and you can charge it overnight again because most likely you're not going to use that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the longer drives, let's assume you take an EQS from Joburg to Cape Town, 1,500 kilometers. You would probably do a stop in Bloemfontein, have a toilet break, have a coffee, whatever you do, you charge in between.
For how long? How long would it take to top up?
You've got nowadays already fast charging technology. So for instance, you have 130 kilowatt chargers from grid cars at the moment, mm-hmm. which we also used when we did our 4,000 test drives of electric vehicles at the Festival of Motoring 2 weeks ago when we launched it here in Kyalami. Mm-hmm. 10 to 80% charge on a 130 kilowatt charger takes you between 42 and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And assuming that you go from Johannesburg to Bloemfontein and your car is two-thirds still full, or half empty, if you want to put it that way.
It would get to full again.
It would get to full again in 20 minutes, which would be your coffee and your toilet break, assume that. Mm. You're probably going to, even in a petrol car, you would have two stops going down to Cape Town, because it's just a 14-hour drive.
Sure.
That is sufficient to fill up your electric vehicle in order to very conveniently and without any range anxiety get to, down to Cape Town.
Assuming there isn't a queue at the charging station, of course.
I mean, and that's where I say that goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. At the moment, there are around about 350, 400 electric vehicles in the South African market. Obviously, that's going to ramp up quickly, but we've had discussions with grid cars and the other manufacturers probably do the same mm-hmm. in order to feed them information in terms of saying, okay, we need more charging station. And it's then all stakeholders need to contribute. Grid cars, we as manufacturers, private individuals. So there's going to be a whole new industry developing out of that. So we've had discussions with petrol station brands which have approached us and said, how can we be part of this game? Because there's going to be a whole new industry developing.
Yeah. The logistics of it, I think, in South Africa are going to be particularly challenging, though. If you consider, for example, that most South Africans tend to go on holiday in December and the highways get jammed. There's going to be a lot of demand on those charging stations at particular times. Other times of the year, they're going to be very quiet. We've also got the Eskom troubles where those particular charging stations may have been load shed at the time people are needing to charge.
I mean, so for me, vitally important is that this whole equation is going to work out the more we go into solar energy. Mm. Because only that way it can be also economically sustainable. Think about it. I think actually South Africa in its structure as a country has also its benefits. Because we're not so overpopulated or metropolitan areas are not so overboarding, if you look at areas in China or Seoul in South Korea or Japan or metropolitan areas in Western Europe or California, for instance, you've got a huge population living in one central location where you need to provide an infrastructure where you've got constant traffic jams, where you've constantly got people in cars, whereas, let's say, in the South African context, it's more widely spread or a bit more evenly distributed. I know we've got the Karoo where there's not a lot, but I think actually the prerequisites are better made for electric mobility.
Interesting. Now, I want to get a view from you on whether the South African government is doing enough to facilitate the growth of EV sales in South Africa. Now, I've heard a lot of stories about how exactly EVs are taxed in this country. I've heard that all EVs are levied an import duty of 20 or 25%, and that ICE cars, or internal combustion vehicles, are not levied this tax. Is that true? And if so, why? And does it need to change?
I mean, firstly, I need to say we are closely working together with the government. The government has a vast interest in driving the transformation to electric vehicles, recognizing that the South African market was a bit later in that transition. Mm-hmm. And we are closely aligning what is required. But there are some obvious factors which I say are prerequisites which need to change in order to accelerate that e-mobility transformation. Number one, the topic which you have mentioned. If you would have any super sports car or any ordinary car, you would pay 18% import taxes into South Africa to import that vehicle. If you take electric vehicles, 25%. I must be quite honest, it's the only country I know mm-hmm. where an electric vehicle is actually disadvantaged in comparison to an internal combustion or petrol car, if you want it. That's something which I've addressed quite vocally and I would say open ears, and it's something which I'm hopeful which will change in the near future.
So it's the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition that ultimately decides these tariffs, is that right?
Yes, but there are obviously many players in it because
it's the tax authorities.
Yeah, it's the tax authorities, it's the automotive industry and the department looking after that. So it's an overriding, there are many stakeholders in the game if you want it. Mm-hmm. And obviously all of these need to be brought onto one page. And there needs to be a common understanding why there's a lot of value for South Africa as a country to drive this transformation.
So you had these conversations with the government. What has the reception been on this particular issue?
I mean, my understanding or my perception is that they've been very diligently listening to all the players' opinions, which is not only us and other manufacturers, sure. but there are many stakeholders, which obviously have an impact from changing the infrastructure for charging infrastructure mm-hmm. to obviously how are we going to source the electricity, knowing that there are certain challenges. And we are at the moment at basically discussing what the right way forward is, and then it goes into the decision-making stage and into the implementation stage.
So you're confident we're going to see change from government side?
I am very confident about that because there's a general interest and willingness from the government side to drive this forward. And obviously, one also needs to understand, like us, the automotive industry is a huge contributor to the South African economy, and that's the intrinsic interest Yep. for the government to receive this with open arms, if I Yep. can say it that way.
Well, the government will be very interested in retaining the investments that companies like Mercedes have made Yep. in the country, in South Africa, including in your manufacturing facilities in
but
East
there
London.
You have to look at the entire Yep. value chain. Yep. So, for instance, and that's a discussion which I recently had, we're investing into charging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We're investing into training. So one of the topics is we've got a dealer network, as I mentioned before, 42 locations across South Africa yep. with many people working for us, providing food on the table for their families. And what we do, we invest into their competency and skills. So all of our locations where electric vehicles are sold and serviced, we've invested into the training because working with high voltage items requires an extra education. So we've got highly qualified staff, but in order for them to cater for electric vehicles, that required extra training and coaching. And that's also one of the aspects. So next to the charging infrastructure and, let's say, import duties topic, having a holistic approach to this topic and, for instance, training of first responders how to handle electric vehicles in an accident situation is vitally important for South Africa as a country to do the transition right. And those are learnings which South African can gladly take from other markets which have to go or were the early adapters in that regard.
Absolutely. So just to stay with this question just for a moment longer, just a couple of bullet points. What would you like to see the government do, apart from the import duties issue, to facilitate the growth of the EV market in South Africa? What are the top three bullet points?
I would have said three clear points.
Yeah.
It's price parity, have an equal playing field for electric vehicles and internal combustion.
Does give a price advantage to electric vehicles.
That can be something which can be thought about in the future, but first we need price parity in order not to have a disadvantage for electric vehicles. And I think that's already good enough in a first step, because then focus on charging infrastructure and infrastructure in general. And that needs to be also a uniquely South African approach. Let's face it, we can't have charging stations all around the country because there's a security aspect in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And we need to be realistic about it. So we need to maybe collaborate between, let's say, the government, us as the industry, with shopping centers, because the South African landscape is you're going to have a lot of shopping centers in contrast to, let's say, downtown London. I'm taking a silly example if you want it. So charging infrastructure is a vitally important topic, and do it right the first time. Mm. And that requires a lot of thought and alignment between different stakeholders in order to find the right path for South Africa. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, look at it holistically. We need to have first responders which are trained to handle these topics. We need an industry, meaning the after sales and service industry, to handle electric vehicles and to service them. We need a supply chain of battery replacements and, for instance, also looking at second use for batteries which come out of cars, disposal of batteries, and they need to be regulations put in place. There need to be a certain infrastructure, how to cater for that. So three things: price parity, charging infrastructure, and a holistic approach to catering for electric vehicles.
Quite a lot to do, quite a lot on the agenda. I want to just ask about your local manufacturing plant in East London. Yeah. Do you retool that at some point to make EVs? Or is that on the roadmap?
I mean, first of all, as I mentioned, it's state of the art. We've just launched or rolled out the new C-Class in the last year, where we've upgraded the production plant to the latest status and state of the art technology. On the other hand, what I'm also super happy is that we're already down that road. We're producing the C-Class plug-in hybrid, mm-hmm. the C300E, the C400E, and that's already basically a plug-in hybrid is best of both worlds.
Yes.
So we already have the competency of producing battery-packed cars in East London, and then we need to see where the journey takes us.
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered whether the hybrid model makes more sense in South Africa, at least in the short term, given the challenges we've got in this market, that perhaps consumers would be more comfortable in a hybrid than a full EV at this stage. Your view on that?
Good question. That's actually a topic which we're looking into. Mm-hmm. We've had hybrid vehicles, plug-in hybrid vehicles in the past in South Africa, probably not taken off as well as we would have wanted in a way, but also maybe it was not the right time. Mm-hmm. We've now said, okay, let's go ahead with electric vehicles, and maybe in parallel at some stage we'll bring in plug-in hybrids for the people which are not completely confident or ready to do the big leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are ready to make the leap of faith, let's have a brief look before we end this discussion today at the four vehicles that you announced just a couple of weeks ago. Let's start with the cheapest entry-level model, if I can call it that. That's the EQA. Now, these vehicles are named very similarly to your existing I-Space vehicles. You've got the A-Series, the B-Series, the C-Series, E-Series, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the electric equivalents of those, I presume. So the EQA would be the electric equivalent of an A-Class.
Of a GLA. So it's
GLA.
It's our compact sports SUV. Mm-hmm. Now, the benefit, for instance, for electric vehicles, because it's a different vehicle architecture, in the past, cars were designed around an engine block.
Yes.
That falls away mostly now, and that gives you more interior space in a similar-sized car. And so the EQA is probably, for me, the most promising car in a South African context, because it's accessible mm-hmm. to, let's say, a wider audience. It's still a luxury automobile and obviously carries a certain price. But it's more or less, if you look at cost of ownership, you're going to have the same amount which you have to pay for a C-Class as you would have to pay for an EQA, right, roughly speaking, depending obviously on mileage you do. Then the second one would be the EQB.
So just on the EQA, so we're looking at 148 kilowatts of power from that vehicle and about a 420 kilometer range.
426, roughly. Yes.
426. and then the EQB.
Yes. The EQB is, let's say, the one size up from the EQA. I always call it our family SUV because you get it up to a seven-seater. So that's very exciting. Also, if you look at family sizes in South Africa, that's a perfect solution to take the granny along if you want it. I always say it that way. And that, at a very attractive price, offers you a lot of flexibility and variability in a vehicle, from having an active outdoor lifestyle to taking the entire family away wherever you're going.
And it's an SUV.
Yes.
And the sort of range you're looking at on that vehicle is?
Is the same range as the EQA.
Not the same as the EQA.
So they're more or less conceptually similar vehicles. They just are attracting a different clientele or character of buyer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we go to the EQC, which I was having a look at the specs on this. This is quite a nippy car. 300
yes.
kilowatts
yes.
Is sports car territory, and, basically.
And what we did recently, we did, just for the fun of it, drag races between a AMG and a EQC. And because electric vehicles in general have that instant torque, it's also the driving performance and that driving fun which you have with them, it outguns a AMG 0 to 60.
Good because grief.
You've got the instant torque, so if you have a normal petrol car, it revs up and then it comes to peak performance. With an electric vehicle, it's straight there.
Astonishing. Yeah. I must drive one. I must test drive one of those.
What's fascinating about all of these cars, for instance, the digitalization, the digital head unit, are next level on these cars.
These large screens, yes. I've seen those in the photos. It's
absolutely stunning. And I mean, the pinnacle of that is the EQS, which has a 1.50 meter widescreen, and that just gives you a complete different user experience and so many different possibilities to not only get in the most luxurious form and in future in the most sustainable form from A to B, but also to use that car for entertainment, connectivity purposes.
Hopefully not watching Netflix while you're driving.
It's a very valid point, and that's part of a very diligent homologation process. Mm-hmm. So if you have the EQS, your wife can, or whoever, can sit next to you and watch Netflix, and because of the way the screen is set up, you as the driver can't even see it. And it tracks your eye movement. And if your eyes would swerve to the left to the screen is shuts off. It's amazing technology. I love that, and that's what
So the screen in that car is called, I think, the MBUX Hyperscreen.
Yeah, the MBUX is the Mercedes-Benz user experience, which is basically the operating system which connects all the dots.
Yeah.
And that is the hyperscreen, which is 150 meters in width. And it's a fascinating piece of technology.
I've had a brief look at MBUX. It's very clever technology. It's the way you can talk to your vehicle and get it to do things for you.
Yes.
You can tell it to open windows or whatever.
It's super. Yeah. And I mean, it's that is what fascinates people, and that's for me why also the techie aspect of cars is a new form of luxury.
Great. Well, before I let you go, I just want to know a little bit more about this S-Class, because I've been reading about what some of the things it can do.
Yep.
This is coming into the African market when exactly?
Well, we launched it together 2 weeks ago. We're just waiting for the final homologation, and customers are going to be taking delivery, I would say, later part of October. And we're very excited because, especially for the EQS, let's say the early adopters, our top-end clientele, have been running down doors for us to get their hands on this vehicle. And we've got two different versions, the EQS 450 and the EQS 53. And
what are the differences?
The EQS 450 is, I'm not going to call it the standard version, but for the lack of the better word, I'll call it now a standard version, which has the range of 782 kilometers, by the way. Mm-hmm. The EQS 53 is the performance version.
Uh-huh.
So it's the AMG version of an electric vehicle. So basically, we've managed to combine e-mobility with performance, AMG and EQ, and it's absolutely mind-blowing.
So how fast does this performance version go?
3.8 seconds from 0 to 100. 940 newton meters of torque. I mean, it's not a pocket rocket. It's an electric rocket, if you want it.
Yes. Yes, and the people who are signing up to or placing pre-orders for these vehicles, are these S-Class owners currently?
It's an interesting one, not only in South Africa, but also in other countries of the world. Completely diverse. We've had from sports car competitors, people switching over because they just are fascinated by the technology and the driving performance, to traditional S-Class customers who just want to be early adapters. And also in terms of demographics, we've had very young customers suddenly be having a vast interest, to, let's say, older generations saying, I want to be at the forefront of it. So basically, all walks of life, if I can say it that way.
Fascinating. Last question. With the move to electric mobility, has Mercedes globally said when they plan to retire ICE-based vehicles entirely? And at what point, I mean, you've given the 2026 figure for 50% EV sales in South Africa. At what point does this market switch entirely to electric?
2032
globally and in South Africa?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Mark Rain, CEO of Mercedes-Benz South Africa,
thank you so much
for joining us.
It has been a pleasure.
Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed that discussion as much as I have. As always, if you'd like to subscribe to the show, youtube.com/TechCentral. Otherwise, go to techcentral.co.za for all the latest tech news and interviews. Thank you. Cheers.